Former NBA referee Tim Donaghy pleaded guilty to two felony charges at a federal court in Brooklyn earlier today. Donaghy provided picks to two co-conspirators about what teams they should bet on, and he faces as much as 25 years in prison. There's a symbiotic relationship between gambling and sports. Placing bets on the Super Bowl, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and other games is an enormous business, both legal and illegal, and scandals date back at least as far as the World Series of 1919. So what's the fallout after an official confesses to corruption? Does this raise questions about the integrity of sports, or do you care? If you have questions about gambling and sports, the number is 800-989-8255. You can email us, talk@npr.org, or you can comment on our blog. That's at npr.org/blog of the nation. Joining us now is Alan Schwartz, who writes for the New York Times. His latest book is Once Upon a Game, Baseball's Greatest Memories, and he joins us from his office in New York. Nice to have you back on the program, as always, Alan.
Well, thank you, Dale. It's good to be here.
So what does this investigation mean for the NBA? Is this a big deal?
Oh, it is a big deal. It will at least be a big deal temporarily, because even if this fellow was, as David Stern, the commissioner, described him, a rogue, isolated criminal, they will have to face questions from fans, usually screamed from the 17th row, about whether other games are being influenced by referees who have betting, who have gambling problems, and might be influenced by, you know, low-level mob folks like Mr. Donaghy was. And I mean, you're going to hear the words "fix, fix" yelled from the stands for months and perhaps years.
And there's nothing in the presentations made in court today that would contradict what Commissioner Stern said. Yet if it is an isolated case, he still says this is the worst thing that's ever happened during his long tenure at the NBA.
No, that's true. And I mean, look, I think it would be naive to think that no other official or umpire or referee in every sport hasn't had this type of problem before. Okay, and we just didn't know about it. I think it's naive to think that sports are pure. Of course they're not. I'm sure that there are, I mean, this is of course speculation, but I mean, look, people do bad things. We know this. Even radio hosts.
No.
No, but I mean,
say it ain't so.
You know, but we found out about this one, and it's horrifying.
Yeah.
And, you know, to people. But look, there is a half-life to every scandal. And the question is how long the half-life will be here. But we know that when games start up again in November, that people will be yelling things from the stands, usually when the call goes against their team, and it's going to happen for a while.
Now, before the FBI tipped off the league, Tim Donaghy was rated as one of their best officials. The prosecution said he bet on games that he officiated, and when people went back to look at what he actually did during those games, were there obvious signs that he gave one team more foul calls than another?
No, there wasn't anything blatantly obvious. Frankly, I came across an incident where a player would have gotten a very, very game-changing, possibly a 3 seconds call, defensive 3 seconds call, which Donaghy should have called. He should have whistled it on the baseline. This is a Bulls-Warriors game, I believe, in February. And instead of blowing the whistle, he actually tapped the player on the hip as if to say, "Hey, get out of there," which is bizarre. But these things are easy to find in retrospect, and I'm sure that we could find similarly suspicious things about officials about whom there are no questions right now. I mean, it's easy to do in retrospect, and it's important to do in retrospect, but I think you always have to remember the context in which you're looking.
Now, should officials in every sport, referees and umpires, should they be concerned that they're going to be subject to more rigorous scrutiny by, you know, certainly background checks when they're hired and continued background checks as they continue in employment?
Well, I think it's natural. I mean, of course, leagues are going to immediately have the knee-jerk reaction of saying, "We got to check out these guys more." I mean, why they didn't know that already, I don't really understand. But I think that, you know, we're seeing it in baseball. We saw that Major League Baseball went to the umpires' union and said they wanted to do more background checks for which they needed legal permission. And the umpires said, "Hey, wait a minute. We don't want to give you a blanket right to look into our finances. This is something that needs to be collectively bargained." And so it's really a matter of how strong the league is and how strong the referees union is, which exists in most major sports, and it will be a tug of war between, you know, rights and responsibilities of each side.
Now, do you think the leagues are going to argue for the increased use of technology like instant replay to reduce the effect that officials and umpires have over the outcome of games?
that is a huge logistical nightmare, and I think it probably trumps the I mean, it's not for me to say really, but for me to predict how that would play out. I think that the logistical problems that would cause, and the other problems it would cause, just in terms of the nature of the sports and how it would be perceived by the public, would outweigh the really very, very, very small chance that any of this funny business would still be happening. It probably is happening somewhere, somehow, occasionally, but I think that the leagues would decide, you know what, we don't have to take those steps in order to keep it from happening, because it would probably happen anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get some listeners in on this conversation. Alan Schwartz is our guest of the New York Times. 800-989-8255 is the number. The email address is talk@npr.org. And let's begin with David. David's with us from Glencoe in Illinois.
Hello.
David, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, well, I have to pull over for a second.
Oh, good.
In any case, I happen to be a high school basketball official in Illinois here. And my concern is mostly when you just mentioned the replay, you're going to find considerable amounts of errors or mistakes because referees, umpires, et cetera, they're human and they do make mistakes. And now every time the replay focuses on this mistake or this error, why didn't...
Apparently he pulled over into a dead spot for his cell, but I...
Well, I'll finish his point. I think, you know, why did he make that mistake? Was he human? Was he under the influence of bettors? And I think that will be the practical limit of how far leagues can go to handle this matter. I mean, you can't use technology to force humans to act other than what they would anyway. I mean, they'll figure a way out of it. Look at drug testing.
Mm-hmm.
Has drug testing fixed baseball, for instance? I mean, there always will be ways to get around the rules. And I think it would only raise the specter of suspicion, probably, if they had to go to replay on every close call.
Yeah, but we're going to see those replays on TV, and the caller's right. Every time we see a referee blow a call, clearly a charge, not a block, we're going to say, fix.
Well, you know, so you got seats in the 17th row, huh, Neil?
Yeah.
That's you. Yes, we will hear that for a while, but you know, because you've been around long enough, I've been around long enough, these things pass. Some other scandal will take the place of this. Michael Vick will get indicted. You know,
well, gambling's involved in that, too.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, a little bit different. But and not less important, but just different.
Yeah.
I just think that this will pass. And enough games will go on that are clearly fair, and enough wonderful things will happen in the NBA to distance themselves from this, but it will always be there. It's like radium contamination.
Now,
it will always be there. The question is, how strong is it?
Yeah, and the thought was that the players themselves have been insulated from all this because they make so ridiculously much money that it wouldn't be worth, you know, the terrible risks to risk your, you know, $17 million salary to throw a game or two for gamblers. Might the thought come up that we need to pay referees and officials more?
Well, I'm not sure you can pay people to be honest. I mean, I think that it's the temptation that Mr. Donaghy apparently felt, and he had other I mean, he has a gambling problem. I mean, there are a lot of things going on above Tim Donaghy's shoulders that aren't going on in many other humans. But I still think, though, that you certainly can't pay the official $17 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think it would be offensive probably to the officials themselves to think that doubling their salary would make them more honest. I think that, I mean, they would, of course, love the pay raise.
Yeah, of course.
Imagine. But, you know, I think they would say, I'm not honest because of my salary. I'm honest because of my character.
Luke is with us on the line from Detroit.
Hi. I'm not a sports fan at all, but one thing that I find funny is that sports are here for our entertainment. And given an opportunity where a call is too close to make, I think this is a theory I have. I mean, why, if it could go either way, one call would make it a blowout and one call would make it a nail biter, which would keep the fans involved and make it more dramatic, why wouldn't officials be instructed to make it more dramatic?
To give the team that's losing any benefit of the doubt. Alan?
Because there's no such thing as a call that could go either way, by definition.
It's either a strike or a ball. It's not a borderline pitch.
You're either safe or out. There's no such thing as a tie, and there's no such thing as a pitch that could be a ball or a strike. It either crossed the plate or it didn't, and it's the umpire's job to decide and be really, 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 really good at deciding. He has to think of it as a black or white issue. There are no shades of gray in the umpire's or referee's mind. And also, remember, the officials are supposed to be almost invisible. You're there to watch the players. It's what the players do that is supposed to be the entertainment. The umpires are just there, and the referees are there to make sure that what the players do is interpreted properly.
But, Luke, that's a thought that has occurred to other people as well. And indeed, there used to be some of these silly blue-gray or north-south football games after the college football season was over, and the kickoff went to whichever team was behind, not to whichever team had not scored. So there were rules like that in some games, but I don't think people bet a lot on the north-south game.
Sure. I mean, I'm not saying all sports are rigged. I'm just saying, you know, I've seen a couple plays where, you know, you can't tell if a knee is down or not in football. And
You can't. You know, the referee can. The referee's paid to be able to tell.
All right, Luke, thanks very much for the call.
Okay, thanks.
We're talking with Alan Schwartz, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And, of course, the scandal that we're talking about involves an NBA referee. The world of tennis was touched by a gambling probe with Nikolai Davydenko, the Russian tennis player. He's being investigated by the Association of Tennis Professionals on a betting scandal. He was way ahead in a match, and a lot of money suddenly came in on his underdog opponent. And Davydenko then had a foot injury, was forced to withdraw after two sets. And I guess nobody's paying off those bets. But this is another problem.
Well, sure, but the thing is it shows, it's another illustration of the fact that human beings are in, you know, these uniforms and on these clay courts. I mean, and these are real outliers, though. I mean, think about how many people have played tennis before, you know, we came up with this, with this fellow who is merely under investigation. He hasn't admitted to what, for instance, Mr. Donaghy did this morning in open court. And, I mean, how many NBA games have been played, you know, before we had something like this? It's an indescribably rare event, even though, as I said earlier, it must happen more often than we know. It certainly can't happen less than we know. And so I think it's naive to think that the fringes of, you know, our entertainment systems aren't populated by criminals. I mean, our society is. Why wouldn't our sports and entertainment be?
Let's talk with Tony. Tony's with us from Baltimore.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Well, thanks.
All right. Yeah, I just called because you asked if anybody cares about this, and I said I absolutely care because, you know, I've played sports ever since I could pretty much hold a bat, and I've watched SportsCenter pretty much every morning for the last 16 years. And I just think it's horribly unfortunate that there's incidents like this because such a large part of our nation, you know, the youth nation, rather, is part of sports, and you know, a lot of people, a lot of kids watch SportsCenter and things like that. If they see things like this going on, you know, and they're understanding that the best team might not necessarily be winning, it's just, I think it's horribly unfortunate, and I wish there was something we could do to get officials like this out, or people like this out. You know, like there was a huge hockey scandal back with Wayne Gretzky's wife in the NHL, and that was horribly unfortunate as well. But
yeah.
You know, I just wish there was something we could do to get these people out of there and keep sports fair, because there's nothing better than a perfectly fair sports game, you know?
Well, hey, thank the FBI. They got Tim, I mean, they investigated Tim Donaghy, and they got him out of the sport. I mean, they are doing it.
There's still others. There's got to be others. I mean,
yeah, well, you know, as Alan said,
the
yeah.
first incident of this type. So,
all right.
It's going to happen. I'm not saying that no one cares. Certainly. I mean, I think a lot of people care here, you know, but it's just, can we really, you know, eradicate sports of evil? I don't see why we could. We haven't been able to do it elsewhere.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, in a perfect world, it would be great. I mean, I was at the Red Sox Orioles game on August the 10th, and that was just a completely invigorating, basically awesome experience. It was a great game. I don't know if you guys know the details of it, but basically my Orioles came back, beat the Red Sox in the bottom of the ninth.
Mm-hmm.
It was great, and it was I long for experiences like that.
All right.
Well, but think about how many. I mean, there are tens of thousands of sporting events over which there is no suspicion, and only a few over which there are. And I think we can take some solace in that.
All right. Your O's lead the Yankees 3-0, Tony. So anyway.
Oh, yeah. We blew those guys out last night, 12-0. So,
yep. All right. That's enough scores. I think we'll go on to another call. All right?
All right. Thanks
very much. Let's see if we can get a quick call in from Brack. Brack's with us from Rome, Georgia.
Yes. I'd like to comment really quickly that I agree that, you know, that we're living, you know, almost in a corrupt world in the sense that sports is merely a reflection of what's going on in society. I mean, like you were saying, you know, you've got criminals in society, so why would you not have criminals in sports? And I guess that really reflects on your referees. No matter how much you pay them, they're still going to have that desire of whatever it is for gambling or for making more money or getting ahead one way or the other. I don't think that applies to athletes as well as anyone else in society. But my question is should we really care? I know that the last caller seemed to care, but when I look at sports, I look at it from an entertainment standpoint. And sure, I care if my team wins or if my team doesn't win. But when it comes down to it, it's entertainment. My day and the average American's day isn't changed by whether or not, you know, the Sox beat the Yankees. I mean, I may have a bad day at work because of it, but other than that, it doesn't affect any other part of my day.
And, Brack, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave that as a rhetorical question and give you the last word because we're out of time. But thanks very much for the call. And our thanks as well to Alan Schwartz of the New York Times, who joined us today from his office in New York. His latest book, Once Upon a Game, Baseball's Greatest Memories. Alan, always good to talk with you.
Neil, take care.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.